Scoop.
...1906. San Francisco devastated by earthquake.
Help me! Help me! We're gonna stop it! Don't stand there! Help!
Len?
Help!
Len, wake up!
Help. The flames are spreading! More water! There's no water!
For goodness sake, Len, wake up!
What's there? Who's there?
Oh, Len, it's me, Beth. Oh, you're dreaming again.
Oh, you're dreaming?
You've woken every night for nearly 2 months shouting about a fire. What is it, Len?
Nothing. Just get to sleep, Bess. I'll be all right now.
Get to sleep? Huh, there's a good one. After you've given me such a start. Oh, no, I think I'll get up and make some coffee.
No, thanks. Bess?
Yeah?
You won't think I'm being silly if I tell you.
Tell me what? What is this fire you dream of, Len?
San Francisco.
What do you mean?
I dream the whole of the city is on fire.
Oh.
It's like that every night. I don't know what starts it off, but it's a nightmare.
Oh, no, you've been working too hard. The police shouldn't expect you to patrol for such long stretches at a time.
It could be that, I suppose. And yet it's so vivid that it haunts me during the day. I dread going on patrol in the Mission District. All those wooden houses.
It's a dream, Len. Only a dream.
It's real, Bess. So real I can feel the heat. It sweeps down Market Street until the city's engulfed by it. And the people have been driven into the sea.
Oh, well, I still say you need a nice cup of coffee.
Now, this time, I've made up my mind. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to go see Dinan.
The chief of police? Oh, he'll laugh at you. I mean, what will you tell him? That you've been dreaming?
I haven't thought yet, but I must warn him. I've been studying the city from the point of view of fire risk. There's not a district that doesn't have a high percentage of wooden houses.
Huh?
They're everywhere. The Russian homes on Telegraph Hill. The Italian houses on North Beach. The alleys of Chinatown. You don't know what it's like, Bess. In Chinatown alone, nearly 40,000 people live crowded together like ants.
Oh, no, it can't be that bad.
It is. What's more, I'd say hardly any of those buildings are insured. And that's the other thing. I'm going to take out an insurance policy tomorrow. I want a $2,000 fire insurance on this house.
Oh, you really believe that this fire is going to happen, don't you?
I know it is. Although I didn't know it then, I wasn't the only one to be worried about the possibility of fire in San Francisco. Fire Chief Dennis Sullivan had received a report from the National Board of Fire Underwriters, which had filled him with misgivings. The underwriters had found a vital flaw in the water supply in the city. There wouldn't be enough pressure to fight a fire of any size. Sullivan sent the report to the mayor, Eugene Smits, who planned for a citizens' committee to discuss the matter within the next few days. Someone else was worried, too. Brigadier General Frederick Funston, acting commander at the Presidio Garrison. He decided to see the mayor.
Have a cigar, Funston. I can recommend them. Imported from Havana by...
I'm not here on a social visit, Mr. Mayor. I want to know why you rejected my scheme for a dynamite squad.
Well, my dear General, I should have thought it was obvious. I don't consider it necessary, and that's all there is to it.
Not necessary? That's criminal. You've read the fire chief's report?
Naturally.
There's not enough water to control a large fire in San Francisco. Sullivan's very worried about it, and that's why I put pressure on the War Department to accept my scheme for a dynamite squad. If we don't do something soon...
The city can't afford it.
You don't seem to understand. Unless we do something about the situation, there won't be a San Francisco.
I understand one thing, Funston. That insurance men are here to make money and...
That's a ridiculous thing to say.
Well, I think not. Besides, why worry about fires when there's a great deal more to be done for the future of the city?
You've forgotten the fires of 1849 and 51.
I don't live in the past, General. Those fires were over 50 years ago.
It could happen again.
Well, we'll wait until then, shall we?
Sometimes I wonder whether the things they say about you might not be true.
What do you mean?
Someone once said that you proved that the keys to the political success were corruption, bribery, and violence.
What's that?
How much must I pay?
How dare you? Please leave at once.
Very well, I will. But don't think I shall give up the fight. I love San Francisco and intend doing something about the state of things here. If necessary, I shall run the corruption out of this city.
If I were you, General, I'd be careful that your virtues don't make life difficult for you. As for the firefighting facilities in this city, I've arranged for a meeting of citizens to discuss the matter. Good morning.
And so the life of San Francisco went on. The evenings were brilliant with entertainments. There was Mardi Gras roller skates at the Mechanics Pavilion, a vaudeville bill at the Orpheum Theater, Victor Herbert's Babes in Toyland at the Columbia. John Barrymore had just completed a season in The Dictator, and the great Caruso was starring in Carmen at the Grand Opera House.
Not another performance.
My dear Caruso, you have a contract. Besides, if you'd not made this tour of America, you would have been in Naples. Think of that.
Napoli. My beautiful Napoli. I cannot believe what they are saying in the newspapers, that Napoli is threatened by extinction from lava. That devil's Vesuvius. You can't imagine what it is like, Alfredo. There is nothing more terrifying than an erupting volcano. Yes, perhaps, as you say, it is a good thing I am here in San Francisco. No, no, it is not good. I, Enrico Caruso, the greatest tenor in the world, should not have to sing for such Philistines.
Even so, the performance went well tonight.
Expected nothing else. Carmen is their favorite, and I was singing. Do you think I should go back to Napoli, my friend? My people are suffering. I could help them.
By doing what?
I don't like such violent things as volcanoes. It's true, but my money could be...
They say the mayor of San Francisco has started a fund. Why not send your contribution?
After this season. I will send it after this season. At the present, I'm too upset. Some wine, and then I shall go to bed and forget the critics who do not appreciate good opera.
It was an unsettled night. Dogs and horses sensed something was going to happen. Father Charles Ram was unable to sleep for the barking of dogs in the city pound, while the firemen on duty at brigade headquarters were woken by the restlessness of the horses quartered beneath their rooms. I slept that night without dreaming. For the first time for months, I didn't see the burning streets of San Francisco. It was just before 5 o'clock in the morning that I woke up.
Are you awake, Ram?
Yeah?
You didn't dream last night?
Oh, for the first time. Hey, what's that noise?
Well, come over here to the window. The milkman's having trouble with his horse. It's rearing about like something from a circus. Oh, Len, couldn't you go down and help him?
Oh, what can I do? He knows the animal.
Oh, it's just that I'm afraid it might run wild in the street. Here, I'll open the window a bit more and ask him if you can help.
You all right down there?
I don't know what's worrying her.
Oh, the poor thing's almost mad.
I'll get some clothes and see if I can help.
The air is very still out there. It's warm, even for April.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice day.
5 o'clock. I didn't realize it was so early.
Now, that church clock's slow. I told the parson yesterday. It's 10 minutes slow.
Len? Len, what's that?
The room's shaking.
A noise? It sounds like...
Bess, hang on. It's an earthquake.
The house! It's falling!
Hold on to me.
The ground's slipping.
We've got to get downstairs. Get outside.
Len, I can't stand up. I'm falling.
I got you.
No, I can't stand.
Then sit on the floor.
Oh, Len, I'm frightened. The house is going to collapse.
The plaster's falling from the ceiling. Cover your face. It's over. It's over.
Oh, thank heavens.
Bess, come with me. We've got to get downstairs before the next shock.
There'll be another?
Yeah, come on, hurry.
No, Len, there can't be.
There's always two. Here it comes.
Oh, please. I can't go any further.
I've got to open the front door. The house might collapse. The door's open. Stand here.
Oh, Len, look outside.
It's like hell. House is collapsing.
I can't look.
Poor devils. The people, they'll be trapped.
I'm falling.
I've got you.
Oh, Len, it's horrible.
The quake's over. Bess, the quake's over and we're alive.
Oh, Len.
I've never seen anything like it. Look at the houses.
Ours is still standing.
People running up and down as if they've gone mad.
Will there be another?
No. No, that's all. Bess, I've got to go out.
No, Len. No, don't leave me.
It's over now, Bess. There won't be another shake. Look, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go and get you out of here.
Where to?
You are going to Oakland, to Aunt Emma and Uncle Joe.
What, now?
Right now. Whatever happens, you are going to be safe.
I don't want you to leave me, Len.
Hey, I'll be all right. And I'll follow as soon as I can. Come on, we'll go back upstairs. You can dress and pack a few things, and then I'll take you out to the ferry before I go on duty.
You won't be long.
No, darling, I won't be long.
Hugo, are you all right? Have you been injured?
We are doomed. That is what is happening, my friend.
Pull yourself together. It's all over. We are quite safe, but we must get out of here.
I must get out of this town, not only this room.
You will. What are you doing?
I'm looking for something.
Your suit is there on the chair.
I'm not looking for my suit.
For what?
Something in this cupboard. Something that could be useful to us. Ah, I found it.
A portrait? You've been wasting time searching for a portrait?
This is not just a portrait, my friend. Read the inscription. It will be useful to us.
To Enrico Corso from Theodore Roosevelt.
From the president himself.
I don't understand.
This will be our passport to safety. They won't be able to stop Caruso when they see his portrait of the President of the United States of America.
You are impossible.
Oh, you may think so. You may think so, but I know what I am talking about.
Morning, General Funston. A terrible affair.
Morning, officer. It is indeed. I'd say it's not finished yet.
You mean there's going to be another shake?
No, that's over, thank goodness. Look over there, on the other side of Market Street.
Smoke?
Yeah, and a fire. And there's another, and another. Isolated at the moment, but multiplying all the time.
My dream.
What was that?
Nothing really, sir. Except for that for weeks, I've been dreaming about San Francisco being on fire.
And this seems to be a case of a dream coming true.
You think there's any real danger, sir?
Undoubtedly. I'm calling out the Army.
Army? Well, what about the fire department?
There's trouble there. Sullivan, the fire chief, was trapped under his house and injured. The city hall's completely disorganized.
I see. So you're bringing the army in?
There's nothing else to do. There'd be needed, in any case, to rescue the hundreds of people trapped under the ruins. So I'm putting the city under military control.
Within 2 hours, General Funston's own men were marching into San Francisco, muskets slung over their shoulders and their ammunition pouches full. These were men who would obey the general's orders implicitly. By now, the number of fires had increased. My dream was becoming a reality. The rescue work went on. Men dug like mad things into the rubble that had been our city. The fire department was now under the command of John Doherty, who, at the age of 69, suddenly found himself fire chief in Sullivan's place.
What do you mean there's no water, Mr. Doherty?
Just that, Mr. Mayor. There's no water.
That's impossible.
I only wish it were. I first realized it half an hour ago when I reached the site of one of the fires. It was a restaurant. One of our engines was standing by, a hydrant as useless as a statue in a city square. All the pump operator could say was, "I can get no pressure." He repeated it over and over. "I can get no pressure."
How many fires would you say are raging in the city?
Well, there were over 20 major fires by 7 o'clock. By now, I daren't think. And with the fire hydrants useless, my men have been forced to leave the flames to their own devices.
Where can we start a fire break?
Well, it's useless to attempt anything south of Market Street. Our only hope is...
Well, what? We've got to try anything.
Dynamite.
Dynamite?
We'll have to create fire breaks that way.
You've heard that General Funston's called in the Army.
Yes.
Well, dynamite was his idea. I turned down his application for it. You'd think I'm weakening if I agree to it now.
Mr. Mayor, it's either that or lose the city altogether. Which do you want to do?
Well, you've got to give me time to think.
We lack time even more than we lack water.
With the spread of the fire, refugees were pouring out of San Francisco with tales that filled America with horror. Rioters were sweeping through the business area in a wave of vandalism that even General Funston's troops were unable to control. An armed gang was massing to storm the United States Mint and rob it of over $200 million stored in its vaults. In all these stories, there was a grain of truth. As the day progressed, the mayor began to take over full control of his city. It seemed that with disaster, he had acquired courage.
Exploitation must stop, gentlemen. The police chief tells me that draymen are charging as much as $75 to carry household effects a distance for which they asked $2 yesterday. Such men must be arrested immediately. And now, about dynamiting. Judge Cavanese says that the city's got a right to destroy property to prevent the spread of fire.
Mr. Mayor, I don't think it's necessary to discuss the rights or wrongs of destroying buildings.
I'd say it's more than necessary, General. It's essential.
In that case, let me say that any such discussion would be too late. At 12:45 precisely, Lieutenant Martin Briggs and six men began blowing up buildings on California Street.
How dared you?
I haven't time to run to the City Hall every time I need permission for some move or other.
Excuse me, General, but I'd say the explosions on California Street caused more trouble than they were worth. They started a fire a full block away from the main fire line. My men tell me that within an hour, they blew up over a dozen buildings and started four more fires.
Is this true, General?
I suppose it could be so.
Your men seem to be getting out of control. I understand nearly a dozen looters in various parts of the city have been executed without trial.
My men are under stress.
We all are, but it's only fair to warn people before one takes such matters into one's own hands.
Warn them?
Please read this proclamation I intend issuing at once. Please read it aloud for Mr. Doherty's information.
Proclamation by the mayor. The federal troops, the members of the regular police force, and all special police officers have been authorized by me to kill any and all persons found engaged in looting or in the commission of any other crime. I have directed all the gas and electric lighting companies not to turn on gas or electricity until I order them to do so. You may therefore expect the city to remain in darkness for an indefinite time. I request all citizens to remain at home from darkness until daylight.
Throughout the night, the fire raged across San Francisco, and emergency hospitals were set up throughout the city to deal with hundreds of casualties. A steady stream of refugees poured down Market Street between two great walls of fire. No one spoke, for the air was stifling and the heat intense. The people plodded onto the ferry building, where 18 launches plied backwards and forwards across San Francisco Bay. By 5 o'clock in the evening, the fire had almost reached Van Ness Avenue, where General Funston stood by with his men, preparing to dynamite three blocks of houses. At 6 o'clock, a wagon swayed into Market Street.
Really, Enrico, you are impossible. To spend all afternoon on Telegraph Hill sketching the town, and now they have to travel down Market Street on the back of a wagon.
You like the painting, Alfredo? I put myself into it.
So I noticed.
Like Napoleon looking down on Moscow. It will be a good souvenir to take home to Italy.
But all that time. There's the ferry building. Crowds of us.
We shall manage. That way, driver. To that entrance there.
I still say we should have made inquiries before coming to the ferry building.
Oh, nonsense. They have only to see me and they'll put me aboard. I am Caruso.
Well, I hope you're right. We won't get much further with the wagon. We walk from here, driver.
Martino, bring my cases.
Si, signore.
This way, Alfredo. The ferries are over there. Ah, an official. Good day. I am Enrico Caruso, the singer.
You have to wait your turn like the others, sir.
What? Who are you? How dare you suggest it? Your name. I shall report you to
my
the...
My name is Ingham, and I am a police officer.
Police? Yeah, excellent. I am a friend of President Roosevelt.
Now, if you'd be good enough to wait over there, sir, it shouldn't be long.
But you don't understand.
You do as the officer says, Enrico. You
most certainly will not. I am a friend of President Roosevelt. He gave me this.
A portrait.
To Enrico Caruso, from Theodore Roosevelt. Now you know I am his friend. He's expecting me in Washington.
So you're Caruso, then sing.
Sing? I want to get out of here. I want to catch the ferry.
Sure, you can do that. But sing first.
Friday, April 20, and the fire continued. It jumped Van Ness Avenue, the firebreak caused by dynamiting rows of buildings. A veteran described the battle of Van Ness Avenue, saying it was like the battlefields of Georgia. Cannon were firing at houses at the other end of the avenue, and mingling with their thunder, people could hear the deeper boom of dynamiting. And still the fire crossed the gap. The last line of outer fences had been breached. Outside St. Mary's Cathedral, a group of men stood around Fire Chief Doherty.
We're wasting our time. We'll never stop the fire now.
The mayor's right, Doherty. Your men have worked their hearts out. And what have they got to show for it? A few buildings standing like islands in a desolate sea.
Look at it. Disaster. The fire's only inches short of complete victory. Well, shall we go back to our headquarters, gentlemen? There's nothing more we can do here now.
You're wrong.
We've got to stop this fire. Whether it's crossed Van Ness Avenue or not doesn't matter.
We've done our best. All of us have done our best. It's true, but that's not enough. We can do better. Resting on your laurels, complaining of the heat, will get you nowhere. Look at you. Weaklings. Fools. You've always been full of what you would do if San Francisco were to burn. You couldn't even put out a campfire, any of you.
I don't think I like that.
You're not supposed to like it. You're supposed to do something about it. I'll make them fight that fire if it's the last thing I do. Walters! Fred! Come over here!
That's an incredible man.
It's as if he's been reborn. He looked like a man of 39, not 69.
Hey, Funston, the wind's come up. It's like a gale.
Yeah, I can hear it, but I can't feel it.
Well, if it should blow this way... Look, flames are running along the road.
Careful, Smits. You'll be burnt. Stand up on those steps.
You ever heard of anything so uncanny? A wind and no wind?
I've heard of such things before. The fire forms its own wind. May heaven help us. We'll never stop the flames now.
The heat. The very world's burning. Doherty! The wind! Can you feel it?
Don't you worry, Mr. Mayor. We're used to this sort of thing.
The fire burned itself out on Saturday. Yard by yard, the firemen gained ground, inspired by the courage and strength of John Doherty. By 5:30 that morning, the firemen on Van Ness Avenue reported that the fire was out, 74 hours after it had begun. Then, later that day, it began to rain. 4.5 square miles of San Francisco was razed to the ground by fire, and 28,000 buildings destroyed. But they say the San Andreas Fault is still on the move. So who knows when the tragedy of earthquake and fire will come again to one of the world's loveliest cities, San Francisco.
Every Saturday night at 9 o'clock, we bring you a true story that has made headlines in Scoop.